Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth, who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 15th day of May, 2023. I'm thrilled to have a first-time guest today who's going to be speaking on an extremely vital issue, even made more vital in the day and age of which we live or in which we live. That seems to have been dominated by gender confusion. My guest today is Dr. Sam Andriades, author and founder of Higher Ground, a New York City ministry of Christian discipleship, serving men and women with unwanted same-sex attractions, which he founded while he was pastor for 10 and a half years at the Village Church in Greenwich Village, New York City. And today we are going to be addressing the theme, Made in God's Image, Biblical Truth on Gender, and we're also going to be announcing an upcoming conference on the same theme at the Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, which has become the new home of my biannual Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheons. But it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Sam Andriades.
Hi, Chris. I'm really honored to be here. Your show has been going on for a couple of decades, hasn't it?
Yeah, going back to 2005.
That's a great legacy.
Yes, and I praise God for it. I'd like for you to explain to our audience, first of all, something about your life as a pastor and the very unique challenges you faced in Greenwich Village, of all places, and how you came to form Higher Ground.
Sure. Well, should I begin with my testimony?
Well, let's do that, because as you likely know, we have a tradition here in Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Whenever we have a first-time guest, that guest gives a summary of their salvation testimony. So, yes, please, give us your testimony.
Sure. Well, I was raised going to Roman Catholic Church. My family was not a believing family. My father was not religious. For my mother, Catholic Mass was kind of a cultural practice. And for me, it began when I was 15 years old. My aunt, who had just become one of these crazy born-again Christians, came over, and we had a debate about whether smoking marijuana increased creativity. And the upshot of that was that she felt so burdened for me that she went home and started to pray for me. And 2 weeks later, for my 16th birthday, she sent me a Good News Bible with instructions to read a chapter of Proverbs each morning, corresponding to the day of the month, and a chapter of the book of Acts at night. And for some reason, Chris, I just obeyed what she said. And it got to the end of the book of Proverbs after a month, and I just started reading that again. And after Acts, I went back and read the Gospels. So I ended up, as a non-Christian, reading the Bible faithfully for a year. And a year later, a strange musical group called Saved by Grace, who came out of the Jesus movement, came and played. They were playing up and down the Jersey Shore, They came to play at my very public high school. And by some fluke, they were allowed to play during school hours for a school assembly. And so I wanted to get out of class. So I signed up to go to the school assembly, where I heard an evangelistic presentation, which caused a big uproar in the community. The group was never allowed back. But that one day they were there, I heard them, and I followed up with them. I went up to the leader, Bert was his name, and I said to Bert, "Bert, you said this thing happened to you 8 years ago. Why are you still so excited about it?" And Bert said, he laughed. He said, "Christ doesn't wear off. He gets stronger."
And praise God.
Yeah. I was so impressed with that I went to see him play at a coffee house, a local coffee house. And at a certain point, they said, anyone who wanted to have their sins forgiven, I was beginning to understand what that meant, raise their hands. And I thought to myself, if they think I'm going to raise my hands in this crowd of people, in front of all these people, they're crazy. But my hand started to go up. I was saying, "What are you doing, hand?" And then they said, "If anybody wants to have their sins forgiven and have us pray for them, come up to the front." And Chris, I said to myself, if they think I'm going to walk in front of all these people for that, they have to be insane. But my feet started taking the steps, and I just felt propelled forward at that moment in my life as a young man. You know, it's interesting. People argue sometimes about the sovereignty of God and salvation. Well, I never argue about it. To me, it was absolutely clear. This was not me propelling me forwards. And when Bert started praying for my sins to be forgiven, I felt a burden fall off my back, just like in Pilgrim's Progress. And all I could do was giggle. Very, very unbecoming for a young man. I couldn't stop because I realized what Christ had done for me. And for that moment on, I was converted.
And what was it that made you believe the Lord had placed the call upon your life to enter into pastoral ministry?
Oh, well, that came many years later. I think that God had a lot of work to do in me before I could be even halfway useful to him as a pastor. But I think through when I was a young man in I guess late 20s at that point, I had a young family. And I had done some work in ministry in a church. My friend suggested to me that this was something I should do. And it was very impractical. But my wife and I just knelt down at the kitchen table and said, "Lord, if you want us to do this, you need to provide a way." And just within a matter of a month, he just opened a whole bunch of doors for me to go to seminary and financially made it work. And so that's what propelled me forward. And I entered into my first pastorate was, as you mentioned, in Greenwich Village in New York City.
And had you wind up there, that has to be one of the most important mission fields in the world, one of the most left-leaning areas of the world, and very populated by people who are homosexuals and homosexual activists. In fact, I had a few years ago attended a conference in the Greenwich Village area, and there were homosexual activists who protested the activities that were happening just because it was a conservative evangelical church. We weren't even specifically addressing homosexuality at the point. And they contacted the hotel that the church was using to house the speakers and people who were traveling out of town. And they removed the discount that they were providing for everybody staying there.
Oh, boy.
Because of that.
Yeah, not surprising. Not surprising. Well, when I landed there in 2002, it was not all that different. It was the rest of the country hadn't really been taken by storm in the way that it has now. But Greenwich Village was sort of gender explore and gender, tearing down central, if you could put it that way. I immediately I was pastor there for 12 years, and was immediately confronted by all sorts of different gender issues, whether it's men who were struggling with same-sex attraction or women who were struggling with some of the things the Bible said about women, or whether it's the people who really were unsure about who they were at that point. I used to call them gender explorers, and they would come down to the village at night and have a lot of different functions that they would be doing and going to. And that's when we began our discipleship ministry for those who had same-sex attraction but wanted to follow Christ, which is still active. Thank you for announcing that, Higher Ground, for those who like help. It even has a more of an online presence now with online meetings as well as in-person meetings there in the city. So that's what happened. And this kind of just kept going for me. When it came time to do my dissertation, I wanted to spend more time with these guys that I think are really modern day heroes in the church who have, you know, some added burdens of discipleship in the area of gender and still are faithful in following Christ. So I did my dissertation on guys who had same-sex attraction or had a gay past, but nonetheless ended up choosing to be in Christian marriages with women and had stable marriages of 5 years or more. And I just learned a whole lot from them in listening to them and doing this study. That resulted in an article for World Magazine that was in 2013. My article was What Ex-Gay Men Can Teach Us About Marriage. And then that led to the books that followed.
By the way, I want to announce the website for Higher Ground, since it is still in existence, higherground.nyc, higherground.nyc. And what results did you witness over the years through Higher Ground? Did you see a considerable number of homosexuals repent of their sin and come to Christ?
Oh, yes. I think what we have a marvelous that's why I think of these guys, especially in our cultural climate, as heroes. We did see people come and say, yeah, I want something different for my life. And as we tried to support them, we saw a number of people, and this wasn't the goal of the ministry. The goal of ministry is discipleship in Christ, but certain things happen to some people on that road, and they ended up getting married. So we had a number of marriages, I think about half a dozen, if not more, babies now born to alumni of that ministry.
Wow. So the Lord blessed them with an attraction to the opposite sex, in addition to just delivering them from practicing same-sex relations.
Yes, I think, you know, you don't hear about it in the media, but people who go this route, the Spirit does work. And when we do deny desires that take us in the wrong direction that God doesn't want us to go in, we find that He makes a way for us. And under the right circumstances, people find who have these kinds of desires, they find there are other ways to be aroused. And that doesn't mean that their temptations always go away like that, and it's, you know, it's, they're never tempted again. But just like the rest of us who have sexual desires that go against God's marriage covenant, God gives us victory over those and finds us, shows us what real contentment, real joy, real peace is in going in His way with His marriage covenant.
Now, was your desire to found Higher Ground simply by virtue of where you were ministering in Greenwich Village, which is notorious for having a higher percentage of homosexual activity taking place than your average city or town anywhere else?
Yeah, that was it. It was, I thought, to be faithful to be a church in that location and to be a faithful church in that location, we really need to address the needs that were there. And at the time, you know, I called up, you know, the kind of national organization that people got support from at that time was Exodus International. And they had a very simple program that any church could just be listed with them, and then people would know that would be a place they could go to maybe leave the lifestyle, to get truth and love and acceptance in their lives. And so I said, well, great, we'll become one of those churches. I called them up and said, hey, we're in New York City. And guess, Chris, guess how many other churches in New York City at that time would associate with this national organization? Just take a guess.
One.
Actually, that if you count us, that's the right answer.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, it was such a divisive topic that it seemed like churches didn't want to touch it. And we thought, that's not faithfulness. We want to be faithful to be willing to be identified in that way as faithful to the biblical witness about these things and where people can get help. So that's how it started.
Amen. Well, I want to give our listeners our email address. It's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. If you have a question for Dr. Sam Andriadis, and by the way, am I pronouncing your name correctly?
No, but that's all right.
Andriadis?
It's Greek, and an easy way to remember it is it's just the man's name, Andre, like the man's name, Andre, and then the first two syllables of Odyssey, Andre Otis.
Andre Otis. Okay. Hopefully I'll remember that for the rest of the program.
If you don't.
If you have a question for Dr. Andre Otis, email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. If your question involves a personal and private matter, let's say you are someone who is battling with unwanted same-sex attractions and you are not ready to identify yourself because of that, we would invite you to feel free to remain anonymous. But if it's a general question on what the scriptures have to say about this issue, a general question about Dr. Andriadis's ministry, we would ask that you provide for us your first name, at least your city and state and your country residence. And again, that's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Well, the Imago Dei, the fact that we are made in God's image is the main title of our theme today, with the subtitle Biblical Truth on Gender. And if you could explain how those two things are inseparably hinged together, being made in God's image and the biblical truth on gender, which is that there are only two, and that one of each gender are permitted to have sexual relations, and only under the confines of the marriage bed. But tell us about that, God's image and the biblical truth on gender.
Yes. Okay. Well, thank you. This is a presentation that I've come to develop. I've gone around, spoken in different places. And as you brought up earlier, I'm going to be at the Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, which is, for those of you in Pennsylvania, it's a great venue. It's about a half hour, I would say, northwest of Harrisburg. And we're going to be there next weekend at their apologetics
Actually,
conference.
Actually, this weekend.
Yeah, this coming weekend. That's mm-hmm. right. Thank you. At their apologetics conference, laying this out. And what I try to do is help people take a step back, Chris, and look at all the different kinds of issues that people could have about gender, because all the different things that people might be asking today really have one question underlying them. Whether we're asking what makes a true woman or what makes a real man, is gender something that's real? Does it matter in relationships? Is the gender binary a means of oppression? What does God think of it? So many questions that people struggle with today that I hear over and over again. Does the Bible tell me as a wife to submit to my husband in decision-making, even if I'm a better decision-maker? How come in this culture I feel emasculated as a man? Why would God deny love to my true love to my same-sex attracted friend? Or in the Old Testament, are men superior to women? Should our church have a woman pastor? How should I respond to my DEI department directives at work? Or if I have a boy body and I feel like a girl, should I transition? All the these questions, including the one you mentioned, there's one question that underlies all of these, and that is, what is gender? What does it mean? And so what I try to do is I help people go back to the scriptures and say, let's see what the Bible says about it and really stay close to the scriptures. It's sort of like, you know, you're familiar with the regulative principle for worship?
Yes.
Well, you know, really, if we look at that, the best impulse of the regulative principle is a plea to stay close to the scriptures in the area of worship. And I think at its best, it expresses faith that we can determine our worship scripturally. Well, I'm just saying the same thing about gender. If we stick close to the scriptures in how we speak, we end up speaking like in terms of the Imago Dei. We end up talking about it in terms of calls in relationships. And so I go through about seven, I come up with these seven biblical principles of gender. And the first one, and we'll be going into these in the conference. The first one is that gender is a gift of being made in the image of the triune God. Long ago, John Calvin pointed out that you cannot know who you are without knowing God. Without the knowledge of God, he said, there's no knowledge of self. And so if you look at the Imago Dei, again, coming from Genesis 1, God created us in his image, and you look at it carefully, and you say, what does that mean? If you've ever wondered, like, what exactly constitutes the image of God in us, you're not alone, because throughout history, theologians have written and thought and puzzled through this question over and over again. And basically, if I could condense it, they come up with three different answers. And I love how the Westminster Shorter Catechism expresses this with beautiful succinctness. It says that God created man, male and female, after his own image, in knowledge and righteousness and holiness, with dominion over the creatures. And it gets actually all those three categories of answers that theologians have given. One, it's we are in God's image in that we share to some extent his attributes, like knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. And we are also in his image in that we take dominion over the creatures. It's kind of been what we might call the biblical theological answer. But also, the confession expresses how God created man, male and female, after his own image. And that's staying very close to the scriptural, to the verses in Genesis 1. And when we put that together, the way that Paul reads this, when he talks about gender, the way he reads Moses' account of our creation, it helps us to understand this principle is true, that gender comes out of being made in the image of the triune God.
In fact, let's pick up where you left off there, because we have to go to our first commercial break.
All right.
And if anybody, again, wants to join us on the air with a question for Dr. Sam Andreatis on Made in God's Image, Biblical Truth on Gender, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question is personal and private. We'll be right back after these messages, so don't go away.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org. That's g3min.org. And enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnson and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnson's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Rees of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio this amazing offer. Anyone in our audience who purchases jewelry from RoyalDiadem.com will ensure that 100% of the profits from that sale go directly to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, merely by mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when you make your purchase, whether it is a piece of jewelry that they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, valued at $100 or more, or if it's a custom design piece of jewelry that you're creating. Perhaps it's an engagement ring. Perhaps it is taking your church logo, your parachurch ministry logo, your seminary logo, or your denomination logo, and turning it into a piece of jewelry like a pendant for a necklace or a ring. Whatever it is that your imagination and creativity can conjure up, RoyalDiadem.com will take what's in your brain and turn it into a physical piece of jewelry that will blow your mind. I have seen firsthand the mastery that they have over custom designing jewelry, and I can assure you they are going to be your best bet when you are considering such an endeavor. Go to RoyalDiadem.com as soon as possible if you do indeed have any intention to buy jewelry for yourself or someone you love. If you want us to get 100% of the profits, please go to RoyalDiadem.com soon, because we have no idea when they are going to pull the plug on this offer. That's RoyalDiadem.com. Make sure you mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with Dr. Sam Andreatis, the founder of Higher Ground, a New York City ministry of Christian discipleship serving men and women with unwanted same-sex attractions. We are addressing the theme Made in God's Image, Biblical Truth on Gender, which is also the theme of a conference being held this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. That is, the exact dates will be the 19th, 20th, and 21st of May. And we hope that you attend that conference and send my greetings to Pastor Ethan Swartz. I have grown to love him and his congregation, which is the new home of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon that I have twice a year. So we'll be reminding you of all the details you need to attend that conference. Again, our email address, if you'd like to join us on the air with a question, is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. Only remain anonymous if your question is very personal and private. Before we went to the break, Dr. Andreatis, you had been in the middle of talking about how truth on gender actually comes from the fact that we're made in God's image, and if you could continue.
Yes, and great. Glad you mentioned Pastor Ethan over at the church in Lloydsville. He's a great guy.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Great to know him. Well, yeah, so we want to be able to address all these different types of questions that people have about gender. And the way that Paul reads Moses' account of our creation helps us to do a kind of what we could call ectypal theology, that is understanding that God reveals himself in a limited way, not exhaustively, but truly, in our human experiences. And gender is a big part of what it is to be human, even from the beginning. And, you know, Chris, I really want to help parents and Christians who feel ill-equipped to address what's going on in the culture and feel scared sometimes about their children. That gets me upset. I've been a pastor for about 20 years, and that riles me up when I see that parents are feeling ill-equipped to address what's coming at them in the culture. So this is a way to do that if we take some time and really think about it in biblical terms. And so if we've covered the first principle, which is that gender is a gift of being made in the image of the triune God. Sounds simple, very powerful, though, when it's combined with these other principles. The second one I would say is that the persons of God, the divine persons of God, experience the archetype of intimacy and fruitfulness. And that is about how, even though God is incomprehensible, he condescends to reveal his Trinitarian relations in human terms. Herman Bavinck is great, for example, in his dogmatics, showing how God reveals himself in the scriptures, not exhaustively, but truly in terms of our human experience. And that's true of the divine person's relations also. And then the third principle would be that in the Bible, gender matters in relationship. That is how the Bible talks about gender. We tend to talk differently about that. We say, well, a man is a man, you know, if he goes to the hardware store. A woman is a woman if she likes flowers. But the Bible doesn't talk that way. The Bible doesn't say, you know, you are this way, you are this man. Rather, the Bible says, man, you do this for her. The Bible brings up gender when it's talking about what men need to do for the women in their life, the close women in their life, and also what women do for the close men in their lives. So gender is a gift for the other, and it's given in our lives for others, and if we marry, for that one particular other as well, because it's about relationship.
Now, do you believe that there are some characteristics and qualities that exude from the very nature of somebody being either a male or a female, while other things are just cultural expectations? Like you mentioned, the man that goes to the hardware store. I know that there are countless number of wives that want him to do that so that he returns and finishes a project that he promised to finish 10 years ago. But those things aren't what God has essentially designed as being innate to being a man, or flower loving being innate to being a woman. You could have a man who is very virile and masculine and a perfect, as perfect as a human being can be while on this sinful planet, a perfect husband and father, and yet he's a florist. You could have a woman who has taught herself how to fix things around the house. She might be divorced or widowed, or her husband may just work such long hours that he can't do these things. So she's taught herself how to remodel the house in certain ways. And she may be the one going to the Ace Hardware store. So those things are not innate, but there are things that should be if somebody is a biblical, God-fearing man or woman. I could think of one is that if a man is a true man of God, he is going to be a protector of his wife and children, and he's not going to cower in fear to their detriment seek to protect himself while they are in harm's way. And you can pick up the ball where I left off there.
Yeah, very, very good, Chris. I appreciate your thoughts there. And I like the way you just expressed that, because if you'll notice, you expressed manliness in one particular quality in relationship to the wife,
right?
If it turns out to be a husband. And that's really important, because there might be certain qualities that we say, well, they tend to be more on the masculine side, but they're always overlapping distributions. The way that God creates us, he seems to really like variety. And we really find out what it is to be a man in taking that responsibility for the women in our lives. Let me tell you a story I think that illustrates this well. I was at a party, I think it was last year, and it was out in the woods. It was some holiday that we were celebrating, and there were a lot of men and women around. And because the people hosting the party lived out in the woods, there were a lot of trees around, and, you know, he had a gun collection. And so, you know, we were just having fun. Some of the guys in the party, we went out and cut a tree down. And he brought out one of his guns. We had target practice very safely conducted. And after that, I went and sat down with a group of women. And one of the women said to me, "Wow, Sam, you just cut a tree down, and you just, you know, went and shot a gun. Do you feel like a man? Are you a real man?" And I looked at her and I said, "Absolutely not, because these are not the things that make for manhood." And then I turned to the host, hostess of the party, and I said to her, "You know, does it make you feel more secure that your husband can handle himself with a gun? Is that in your context, in your particular situation here, does that make you feel more secure?" And she said, "Oh, yes, it does." And I said to her, "That's because he's a real man. He's a real man." And she said, "I know." But that what happened there, if you see in that conversation, is these things come out of men, and men have different gifts, and some of them various. But if they come out in serving the close women in their lives, then, yeah, that's masculinity.
And we have to be careful not to unnecessarily and cruelly scar children mentally when they are doing things that goes against a particular culture or family's idea of masculinity or femininity, but it has nothing to do with the biblical mandate on those things. Like, for instance, you may have a son, a nephew, a grandson who loves to cook. Now, it's interesting that most of the world's most famous and highly exalted chefs globally are men, not all of them, but it is odd that that has become associated with, in many cases, not all, many cases have been associated with that. That is woman's work. The same thing goes with a girl who is doing something that may be not considered a masculine hobby or job, but it is not something that the Bible prohibits because of her female gender. Don't we have to be careful not to say to young people, "You really got to knock that off. You're acting like a sissy. You know, people are going to think you're queer if you keep doing that," when it's not anything that is offensive to God when a male does it, and vice versa.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And, you know, I'm often counseling parents who get worried, especially in these days, that, "Oh my gosh, you know, my son is not like baseball, and maybe the father really is into baseball." And they get worried. It's like, "He's not a real man." I'm like, "No, you know, God gave us the children that he gave us in order to stretch us as well, for us to keep growing. And our job as parents is to enter into the world of our children." And I've had parents who've had children who really took like a boy who just loved pink, and he loved different girls' clothing. And I was like, you know, there's something of value there when a guy who grows up to be able to relate to girls, not identify with girls, but relate to girls. And if these parents did an excellent job of just entering into his world with him and starting to teach him about what real masculinity is. And today I really admire him. He's a great young man. And that's important because gender is moral. We tend to be surprised as parents when our kids need to be taught moral things like don't lie, You know, as we were always shocked as Christian parents. It's like our kid comes out and starts lying. We're like, why is he lying? He's supposed to be a Christian kid. Well, because we have to teach him about honesty, and some of our children more than others, we have to instruct them. We have to discipline them about understanding morality in terms of the things, and for example, things like honesty. Well, the same is true of gender. Gender is something moral. We need to teach our children, you know, why we do certain things. And so if we come in on our kid, and which is natural for many kids to try to explore gender at a young age, and we come in and our child may be dressed in the opposite gender, and we shouldn't freak out at that time. We should take the child, sit the child down on our knees, and say, you know, let me just instruct you that we don't cross-dress. The Bible tells us not to cross-dress, and that's because you're actually a boy, and I have great confidence in you. You're going to become a great man, but we do these things. What your boyness consists of is how you treat other boys and other girls in your life. And along these lines, I mean, I'm kind of summarizing here, but these are the kinds of things we need to do as parents. So you're absolutely right.
Now, what do you have any ideas, any guesses from what you have witnessed in the culture? Why it seems so bizarrely and frighteningly dominant in the world, not just here in the United States and not in a certain state of the United States or a city of a certain state. This is a global phenomenon where not everybody, I'm not even saying the majority of people, but a disturbingly high percentage of people are just falling into lockstep with the satanic ideology of the left, which tells them if your child is doing something that is considered a girlish or womanly thing for a boy to do and a boyish or manly thing for a girl to do, oh, that means that they are transgendered and they should be immediately taken to a doctor to change their gender, as if anyone could actually do that. That's an impossibility. But do you have any theories as to why this has become a rampant thing globally? And I'll have you answer that question when we return, because we have to go to our midway break right now. So don't forget about that. If anybody else has any questions, please submit them to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. We do have several people waiting to have their questions asked and answered by our guest, Sam Andreatis, and we will have him do so as soon as possible when we return from the break. Please keep in mind, folks, this is the longer than normal break in the middle of the show, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because the FCC requires of them to localize geographically all of their programming, including our show, to localize geographically the programming through public service announcements and other local announcements that they make on the show. And while they do that, we simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. So please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the contact information for as many of our advertisers as you can. And please respond to as many of our advertisers as you can. And when you can't respond in a way that involves money or visiting a church, which is very far away from you or anything like that, please at least thank our sponsors for sponsoring the show, because we cannot exist without our advertisers' financial support. We'll be right back after these messages, so please do not go away.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed. Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Mattoy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnzen, I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Hey everybody, this is Pete Hegseth, New York Times best-selling author and Fox and Friends weekend co-host. And I'm so excited because I'll be coming to Our Savior New American School in Center Reach, New York on Saturday, May 20th for their annual evening banquet. Now, by coming to this banquet, you're going to gain insight into how American education has lost its way. We know it has. And how the rediscovery of classical Christian schools has provided families with a healthy alternative that is rooted in Christ, wisdom, virtue, and the classics. Remember those? Look up Our Savior New American School online to sign up for this banquet while seats last. See you there.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck at First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast, I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please don't forget, folks, always make your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs, solid-ground-books.com. They bring back into print and also publish for the very first time nothing but the finest in Christian literature dating back to the 16th century Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our current day, including such modern authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. That's solid-ground-books.com. Visit that website frequently and purchase generously. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my guest, Dr. Sam Andreatis, on Made in God's Image, Biblical Truth on Gender, we just have a couple of very important announcements to make. First of all, folks, if you love this show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please go to IronSharpensIronRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer mailing a physical check to a physical address, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at IronSharpensIronRadio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, as long as whatever it is you desire to promote is compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible. We are just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are and your donations. So send me an email to chrisaronson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Remember, folks, I never want anybody in my audience giving their own church where they are a member less money than you're accustomed to giving that church on the Lord's Day in order to give Iron Sharpens Zion Radio a financial gift. In other words, don't cut into the finances that you have set aside for your Lord's Day giving to give us a financial gift. Please don't do that. And if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you are more financially stable and back on your feet before you send us a financial gift. Two things that are very clear in the Bible about finances is that we are to support our churches and families. And supporting Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is obviously not a command of God. But if you love this show, you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, and you do have extra money above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, you have extra money collecting interest in the bank and extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, please share some of that money with us so that we can continue to exist. Also, if you are not a member of a Bible-believing church, a really solid doctrinal church, a doctrinal church that is faithful to the Bible and its theology and practice, well, send me an email to chrisaronson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. I've helped many people in our audience in all parts of the world find churches, sometimes even within just a couple of minutes from where they live, and I may be able to help you in that same way. So send me an email to chrisaronson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in a question to Dr. Sam Andreatis on Made in God's Image, Biblical Truth on Gender. And it's chrisaronson@gmail.com. And before I go to some of the questions that have come in, Dr. Andreatis, before the break, I asked you for your opinion on why you believe a possible reason that the globe has become captivated by the left's satanic agenda to make gender a fluid thing, to convince parents that the best thing for the best interests of your children is if they are even prepubescent and they happen to say one day, "Mommy, I think I'm a girl," and that's a little boy saying that, or your daughter saying, "Mommy, I think I'm a boy," that immediately we should go to a doctor and get that child pumped with medication and have surgery performed on it, which to me, anybody who does that, a doctor or parent, should be spending a very long time in prison. But how did the world become so captivated by that in a favorable way, where it seems to even go against the instincts of the unregenerate? In fact, it has been something that the majority of unregenerate people for centuries would have recoiled in horror at such an idea, even though they don't have the benefit of the Holy Spirit indwelling them. So what are your ideas on that?
Yeah, thank you. By the way, Chris, that's a great word about tithing. I really appreciate your attitude there you're expressing in terms of when you're making your pitch to have folks give and really reminding them of where their responsibilities first lie. So I want to thank you for that.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, well, that's a great question. If I may, let me recommend two resources where people can explore this further. If I may.
Oh, sure.
The first is my website. It's called affirminggender.com. That's one word, affirminggender.com. And the point there is to actually affirm gender rather than tear it down. And folks can find answers to these types of questions there. Another one that people, your listeners, might be interested in is a book that I just finished writing. We're readying for publication right now. It's called Across the Kitchen Table, and the subtitle is Talking with Your Teen About Trans. And it's for parents who really want a biblical response to what is overtaking the teens in our culture now. And it's really to help the parents talk to the teen in a kind of reasonable manner from the Bible about what is going on here, how to understand this from a Christian point of view, or to help a teen help her friends or help his friends with it. So that's a book that's coming out. And if you go to the website, you can actually put down your email address if you want to be notified when the book becomes available. So those are some resources. But the question, the big question that you're asking, which I appreciate, is one that I deal with on a website in different ways. You can look at this from different perspectives and on different levels as to why this is all happening now. But just maybe in a simple way, I could say it flows from from the rejection of the biblical principles of gender. You know, the culture began a few decades ago minimizing gender in marriage and denigrating gender. And I'm sorry to say, in recent years, the church has participated in the culture's denigration of gender. And the way it's come about is by emphasizing something that is true, which is women and men's equality. That's an important principle, which is one of the seven biblical principles of gender. But while the culture was emphasizing the important truth of the equality of women and men, the culture lost the other important truth that God decreed asymmetry between his image bearers. And if there's no difference between men and women in relationship, then why would you need one or the other in intimate unions? And so gender minimization in marriage leads to gayness, invariably. But that's not where gender deconstruction stops. And the current transgender movement and growing widespread gender dysphoria that you're referring to were entirely predictable. In fact, I did predict it. Because when people don't know who they are in relationship, they start to lose what it is to be a man or a woman. Then they buy into superficial cultural stereotypes, and all the while they're sensing that these are not the real thing. Then they decide they don't fit into these, and then gender dysphoria sets in. And gender dysphoria is going to continue to increase for this simple reason. When you lose gender in relationship, you lose gender. And so that's what's happening in the culture, and that's why it has overtaken people, is they're losing gender in relationship. So they're losing what it is to be a man, or when they start to ask, well, what, am I really a man? Am I really a woman? And it's overtaking our schools, unfortunately, because in the younger grades, there's a curriculum now where they kind of teach these gender stereotypes. They teach that if you are a girl and you don't like pink, then you're gender nonconforming. Or if you're a boy and you like art class, then and more than sports, then you're gender nonconforming. And they set up this understanding so that then in the next phase, kids realize, well, I don't fit into these. And so gender binary must be a means of oppression. And they throw out gender entirely when these are not even, we wouldn't even agree with these gender stereotypes. They're certainly not biblical.
Well, isn't it interesting that for decades, the liberals probably emphasized the fallacy of that more than anybody? I can remember time after time on network television growing up, All in the Family, which was a brilliantly funny show, but it was created by a leftist by the name of Norman Lear. And shows like that and others, we would be hammered away on these programs with the mindset, how dare you think your son is gay because he likes art class over sports? How dare you think your daughter is a lesbian because she likes to play sports and she's handy with a hammer? You know, the liberals used to talk about that more than us, and now it seems that as the liberals have really become leftists, which is, there is a difference, the leftists seem to have dug up these ideas that were thought of as the property of wrong-thinking conservatives. It's really mind-boggling.
Yeah, well, what's really sad these days is that parents are scared. Well, the parents that I talk to in counsel, oftentimes they're told that if your child is at all kind of uncomfortable in their body, then you have to immediately move to these practices of chemicals or cuttings to imitate the opposite gender, or else they'll commit suicide. When actually there is no good evidence that going through these procedures actually diminishes the chances of suicide. There's no good study on that, but that's what the line that parents are given, and they're they're scared to death. They don't want a dead child, you know, they want their child to die. So they submit to these things. And unfortunately, the ideology ends up being prevalent and forced through social media on people who are very vulnerable, going through life changes like adolescence, or people who are pre-adolescence, and they're wondering about their bodies and they have difficulties with their body. I mean, what teenage girl is kind of comfortable with her body? And then they're told that, oh, this means that you are really a boy. When if left without this kind of suggestion, between 80 and 90% of cases of this kind of gender dysphoria just resolve themselves with a reconciliation with their with the gender and the body that God gave them.
I mean, also to throw into this into the mix something somewhat controversial. You and I are theologically reformed, and reformed people tend to, unfortunately, shy away from discussions on the demonic. You will very rarely hear a sermon on the demonic, at least in my experience, from the pulpits of reformed churches. You will hardly ever hear things about the supernatural realm that would be involving satanic and demonic influence. We tend to perhaps overemphasize that man's depravity on its own is enough to get a human being to rebel against God. But, of course, if we look into the scriptures, even Judas needed to have the devil enter him before he betrayed Christ. So do you think there is some kind of an unusual demonic activity going on that would deceive people globally all at the same time, that this is a valid option to sexually mutilate your child just because a child is saying something, when every other category in life, when a child says something, their childish thoughts and statements are viewed typically when they seem fantastical, they're viewed with suspicion. They're viewed with, oh, come on, honey, that's silly talk, you know, that kind of thing. But, oh, now we've got to take them to a physician, and these satanic physicians who would actually dare help to mutilate the child sexually, they are available out there. And it just strikes me as something beyond the norm in satanic influence. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Well, it's true that, you know, if you want to, like I said before, if you want to answer this question about why all this is happening, you can talk about it on a number of levels. You can talk about it from a sociological perspective and the philosophical traditions that have given rise to this. And there have been some great offerings recently, Nancy Piercy or Carl Truman, who kind of try to explain these things in terms of philosophical movements, which are really helpful. Or you can talk about it in terms of, like you just mentioned, our sinfulness and the way in which our sin kind of works together with other sinful patterns. It's like codependent sinfulness. Like there's a movement in people to say, I want to find a different way to understand myself. And on the other side, you know, trans is a $2 billion industry, which promises to double in the next 8 to 10 years. So there's different motivations there that are in question. But if you want to go all the way to the top, or second from the top, I would say, you could find Satan, because what's really happening overall is the destruction of the very image of God. And so I actually bring up a case in this book, Across the Kitchen Table, that's about to come out. I bring up a case where there was a man who came to me, and as he described his strange history to me and he asked for my help, he made no bones about it himself, understanding that actually this involved a demonic possession. And he could tell that there was evil that lay behind his man-denying behavior. And it began however, with a sexual molestation at 6 years old by a very evil grandfather. And in his case, you know, I tend to not rush into these things. He hadn't been to church in about 25 years, but he did understand his guilt and his shame and his need for reinterpretation in Christ. And so after further discussion and much prayer and enacting appropriate safeguards, I did an exorcism. And that was the beginning of this man's life as a changed man. He used to talk about himself before this as he went to prison at one point. He got out of prison. He said, "I'm still in prison." And he's not in prison anymore.
Well, praise God. And you are one of the very few theologically reformed Christians I've ever spoken with that has performed an exorcism. So I find that quite fascinating. All right, let's go to some of our listener questions. We have an anonymous listener who says, "I have a huge problem with the way that homosexuality and the transgender movement are often addressed in the congregation where I am a member. That is why I'm remaining anonymous. I do not want to identify myself and get into an unnecessarily awful conflict where I am. But even though I understand full well that all sin is an offense to God and that all sin will send an individual to hell if he is not covered with the blood of Christ and does not have the imputed righteousness of Christ as a blessing to make him acceptable to heaven, I do believe there are differences between the sins of heterosexuality and homosexuality. I believe that a heterosexual sin is an abuse of a gift from God because same-sex attraction is a gift. But we can never say that about homosexuality, and the Bible refers to it as being unnatural. Isn't it all too often said, very flippantly at times, that homosexual activity is no different than heterosexual fornication and other things that involve heterosexuality? And please, I do not mean to lessen the seriousness of sin of heterosexuals. I just think it's dangerous to equate homosexual activity with heterosexual activity." I think the listener has some very valid points there. What do you have to say?
Okay, well, it sounds like there are a few questions in there, but there, or at least two I'm hearing. Is it about how to address this in our preaching, or is it about specifically whether heterosexual sin and the relationship of that to homosexual
sin?
Well,
like for instance, as the listener has said, I have heard numerous times when homosexuals are being evangelized, and they'll say, "Yes, I know that you are guilty of the sin of homosexuality, but that's no different than any other sin that you may have. It may be the sin of pride. It may be the sin of lusting after your neighbor's wife." And, you know, you could go on and on. But there is something in innately more of an abomination, it seems, from the scriptures that are innately a part of something that is unnatural as homosexuality. And to my knowledge, God never destroyed an entire city over the sins that heterosexuals were primarily committing. There seems to be something unique about homosexuality and its depth of evil, where even Paul says with surprise, you know, that even the women are exchanging the natural desire for a man for a woman and so on. So it's almost shocking to the very core of Paul's being to even say that. But if you could pick up, maybe you think that the listener and I are overreaching here, but I have a lot of sympathy with what he's saying, or she.
Well, you know, I think that each all sin, of course, is heinous before God. But as the confession reminds us, there are some sins that are more heinous than others because of their effects. And each sin is distinct in the way in which it is, in different characteristics that it has about itself. So that's true. I could just tell you in my experience in helping people to overcome, I've helped a lot of young men just in my pastorate as in the last 20 years, and specifically concentrating on gender ministry of, with gender problems. I can just tell you there are a lot of similarities in the way in which people come to repentance and need to repent about their desires. And I do think we have to acknowledge that any desire that takes us away from the marriage covenant as God defines it between one man and one woman lifelong, any desire that takes us away from that is wrong and heinous before God. A lot of things are called an abomination in the Bible, different kinds of sins, including business fraud, for example. So we do have to acknowledge that even if we're not sort of in a privileged category to say, well, you know, I lust after women who are not my wife, therefore I'm kind of better off than if I had same-sex attraction. Both of them take me away from what God intends and his perfect way of having a marriage covenant with one woman. And it's just helpful. It's helpful for anybody who's in any kind of position struggling with these desires to understand that, that it's not a special category of repentance that's required. There's the same kind of repentance and trust and faith, and the same way in which the Holy Spirit actually can work to convince us, one, of the sinfulness of our desires, but two, to change us to actually be different people in Christ, to have a new identity in Christ. So it's just been in my experience, there are similarities there as well as differences that we have to acknowledge. And the similarities become very helpful when you're helping people to actually overcome aberrant desires. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yes, it makes sense. And I don't think the listener indicated that there aren't similarities. You said all sin sends us to hell if we're not covered with the blood of Christ or recipients of the imputed righteousness of Christ. And the differences, though, today especially, can be rather stark because there is a unique evil occurring in our day in regard to political power and influence, where you have movements who actually have, in regard to homosexuals, their own flag, and they are tirelessly committed to changing the opinion of everyone in every sphere of life, whether they are government leaders, teachers, parents, whereas there is no movement of heterosexual fornicators that would be in any way similar or close to its a power. There's no flag for heterosexual adulterers and fornicators. There is no move to change people's opinion on that in any significant way. And you don't have even those that are lost very often, in if not most of the time, view the cheating on one's spouse as something that is wrong. Whether they think it's wrong enough to stop doing it is one thing, but there is even a universal recognition somehow that that's a wrong thing, to cheat on your spouse. But we are supposed to be celebrating homosexuality, not even tolerating it. But
well, yeah, I think there's I can see what you're saying there. I would say, though, that unfortunately, that ethic of, you know, even in marriage, a kind of intergendered marriage, that's going to be the norm for people who are non-believers. That also is following away. I read these editorials now in the New York Times talking about how what we should have is more partners in marriage, and that's what's natural. And that's becoming something that's becoming accepted, I see, which is awful, and it's going to lead to a lot of destruction in people's lives. But it seems like that's getting discarded also to me.
Well, we have to go to our final break. And by the way, Anonymous, if you are a first-time questioner, you've won a free New American Standard Bible. So let me know your full name.
Congratulations.
let me know your full name and mailing address if indeed you are a first-time questioner. We're going to our final break, and if you have a question and you want to get in line behind the others who are still waiting, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
All right.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnson, I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Hey, everybody, this is Pete Hegseth, New York Times best-selling author and Fox and Friends weekend co-host. And I'm so excited because I'll be coming to Our Savior New American School in Center Reach, New York, on Saturday, May 20th for their annual evening banquet. Now, by coming to this banquet, you're going to gain insight into how American education has lost its way. We know it has. And how the rediscovery of classical Christian schools has provided families with a healthy alternative that is rooted in Christ, wisdom, virtue, and the classics. Remember those? Look up Our Savior New American School online to sign up for this banquet while seats last. See you there.
Hi, I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Getting a driver's license, running
Fox
a cash
News
register,
alert, explosive
burgers,
new evidence that the Biden family
grade.
Was taking bribes.
Do you know what
from-
they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth Love Parent and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvino, and thanks for listening.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget about the new website for Grace Covenant Baptist Church of Flemington, New Jersey. It's gcbc-nj.org. gcbc-nj.org. We have another anonymous listener with a question. Is there any study showing any issues with brain development with trans people? For instance, serial murderers, he intended to say, and psychopaths have shown the part of the brain that has remorse or emotions typically is underdeveloped or smaller, not that they are similar in nature. But has there been any studies of this, any development of the brain when it comes to someone confused about their gender identity? Do you know of anything like that?
Sure. Yeah, that's a great question. And it's a reasonable question to ask, Chris. So thank that caller. Actually, there have been studies done, but they're fraught with problems. The Endocrine Society, in 2017, they put out their statement. You can go to the Endocrine Society's website and why they believe there is some kind of basis for gender identity. And they go into brain studies, neurological studies. The problem is that in some post-mortem brains that were analyzed, there did seem to be some features of that brain that were more, you would say, more identifiable as feminine features than as masculine features of these guys who were trans. But the problem is that these folks have been taking hormones, and the hormones actually affect our brains. Our brains don't remain static throughout our lives. Our brains are somewhat plastic, and they do change based on chemicals that we take in, but also on our behavior. We can actually change features of our brain by our behavior. So it's kind of hard to say, oh, Yeah, they were born this way. I don't think there's good evidence for that in the brain studies that have been done.
And that is not a license to sin anyway. For instance, it's been a theory.
Right.
It's been a theory that things like alcoholism are passed down generationally. I was a unrepentant drunkard for a while, very serious level of drunkenness. And all I know is that my mother's father, my maternal grandfather, was a serious drunk, which led him to an early death. But even if somebody who's a scientist can prove something that is passed on generationally through some kind of a defect, that does not give a license to sin. There have been studies that men who are violent have higher levels of testosterone very often. So is that supposed to mean that we got to give them a break for being violent and a murderer? No.
Right. So. Yeah, the way that's good. It's similar to the question of is there a genetic cause for homosexuality? And there has never been found a genetic cause for homosexuality. And it ain't for lack of trying. There's been a huge amount of money poured into research to try to prove that. And it has been completely inconclusive. And so the way that I put it is that there might always be physical propensities towards certain temptations that we have. You know, we all have weaknesses and we all have certain kinds of personalities. We all have certain kinds of bodies. And sometimes we might have a physical physical part of ourselves that makes us more prone to a certain kind of temptation. But as you say, Chris, that's not an excuse. Where we are willing to submit ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, there's always a transformative power of His Spirit to work in us towards righteousness. And that's the way it works in people I've seen.
In fact, I remember in the 80s, seeing on Phil Donahue and other places where homosexual rights activists hated the idea that this was the result of some kind of a birth defect. They were boldly saying it was their choice to enjoy sex in this way. And it's interesting how it's radically shifted. And even transgendered people are calling themselves persons with gender dysphoria. Now, that seems a very odd admission to me. Because you're saying there's something wrong here, but their solution is to surgically remove genitals as a result of this gender dysphoria, not any other kind of therapy or what have you. In fact, to even suggest therapy of any kind is anathema to them. So it's a very bizarre world we're living in.
It's very sad because... some of these are irreversible, some of these measures that are being taken up. And, you know, fortunately, England has reversed course on this in some of the European countries, but America soldiers on in this.
Well, I just want to remind everyone that if you want to attend this conference this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, that's the 19th, 20th, and 21st of May at Church of the Living Christ in Lloydsville, Pennsylvania. The Apologetics Conference, hosted by my guest today, Sam Andreatis.
Done on the name, Chris.
you could go to churchofthelivingchrist.cc, churchofthelivingchrist.cc, and find out more information. And can you repeat, Dr. Andreatis, your own website again?
Yes, it's affirminggender.com. One word, affirminggender.com. That's it.
Well, I already know that I want to have you back, not only soon, but frequently on the show. And I hope that you are just as eager to do that as I am to have you back.
Yeah, it's been great. Can I leave a final word here with the folks?
Yes.
Yeah, I just want, because I do sense in some of these questions just a fear or worry about what's going on. And we need to remember, especially as Reformed folks, that God is still in complete control of this. He's got this. And so we're talking about different reasons this is going on. At the top level of cause, we have to understand and acknowledge God is allowing this in order, I think, to test his church. He's asking the church, are you going to be faithful? And are you going to derive your beliefs about gender from the scriptures? And it causes us, one of the things about what's going on, which is actually good, is that it puts gender under a microscope. And it helps all of us to say, am I really getting what I believe about gender from the Bible, or is it some cultural thing? And so God is doing his work in the midst of this also. I want people to be encouraged with that.
Well, thank you very much. I want to thank you so much for being an excellent guest. I want to thank all of our listeners for listening, and especially those who submitted questions. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Amen.